And we're finally back. It's Tabloid Tarot. Quick Tabloid Tarot update. We're going to be back doing a regular Tabloid Tarot episode once a month. The scandals of tabloids, a little bit of extra rune reading and tarot reading and cartomancy. And we're going to start supplementing the channel and podcast with movie reviews as well as introductions, because some movies we haven't seen before, others we have. And I'm still here with Tuesday.
Yep, I'm here. We're back.
It's a me.
Oh my god. Yeah. It's a me.
Yep. So, what we're going to talk about first today here is Easy Rider, the movie that I saw when I was very young. It's just one of those movies that was on at one point, and I saw and was like, okay, what are we watching? It's like, which is the thing, because you watch what was on. You didn't get to make the choice of what you're going to watch, really. And if you did, when you're one of three kids and the youngest, you didn't get that choice. One of your other siblings did. But I'm pretty sure this was on the TV because of my dad. Unless my mom was really into Fonda. But yeah, showed it to Tuesday.
Yeah, I did. I was 35 years old this year when I saw Easy Rider. So it's pretty intense. I would not show it to a child. just for the simple fact that there's so much drug use to explain. And then I'm pretty sure there's some nudity in it.
Yeah, this nudity. Yes, there was nudity in it. Nudity. Oh man, we saw. You know, you'd be told to cover your eyes occasionally. Or if it was like blatantly there, they'd just be like, leave the room.
See, leave the room. I'll tell you when you can come back in.
Oh yeah, we wouldn't get invited back into the room. We'd just be told to leave the room. If the movie wasn't going to get turned off, they'd just tell us to leave. Yeah. At that point, you need to go.
Yeah. Some movies that would get that bad, but usually it's just like you're just going in and out of the room.
Yeah, you'd be told to leave the room. So for those listening, we are back, but we are also in the bunker garage. So we're recording outside, so as you may hear, birds.
Yeah, there are a bit of birds pretty close. Little birds, and then owls.
Yep. Birds suddenly appear. Oh, what is in your ear?
Always near.
Yeah, always near.
Yeah.
Birds and cars. So you guys are going to be coming along for a weird journey. Like, I'm going to be softening and editing out as much as I can. But what you do here, just bear along with us, because that's the way it is now. It's the way it is! Yeah. But we're going to be doing recordings from all over the place. We're also going to be doing our campings again. So we're going to be around. We're also going to be having a ton of content. We'll be linking to our YouTube channel, The Green Pears. And our Buy Me a Coffee in the show descriptions for you guys to check out some of the stuff we're going to be putting out YouTube-wise, besides just, like, tarot card stuff and rune reading stuff that we're going to record and put up under our Tabloid Tarot section of the YouTube. And we're going to have nature walks, home building projects in the sense that we're building tables and all kinds of weird stuff. Gonna try some copper bending, see all kinds of weirdness. But
yeah, maybe we'll even have like some tarot buttons or different whatnots later on.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
We have the equipment, so
that's true. We do have a button maker, especially once we get the a good little set of designs we like, so we can get them just quickly like pop. We can crack those into some nice little buttons. So. Back to the writer that's easy. and you got all the actors and directors, right?
Oh, no. I mean, off the top of my head. So, immediately, you know, who's starring in it? Mm-hmm. The only people that I know of that are, like, I guess it's, like, big actors or whatever. The lead is Peter Fonda. And then Dennis Hopper. I would say it's a supporting actor. And you get a little, like, guest appearance from Jack Nicholson.
Yeah.
There may be other actors from that, like, time period. So if I miss them, I'm sorry. But, like, for me, a person in my 30s, those are the people that I'm like, I know them.
They're also probably the main characters in that sense.
Yeah. All right. So, Easy Rider, 1969, said who was starring, but the director is Dennis Hopper, and the writers are Peter Fonda, Dennis Hopper, and Terry Southern. I'm not sure who Terry Southern is.
Written by.
IMDb will tell me. Writer, actor, producer. Okay, he wrote Dr. Strangelove, Barbarella.
Yeah, man, he's been writing.
So.
He's out there.
Yeah. So well, that's who wrote this film.
I hate it. Yeah. Written by Hopper and, oh, well, all three, right?
Yeah, like I said.
Yeah. And then directed by Dennis Hopper. Yeah, I mean, it is a movie about freedom and driving cross country and getting to Mardi Gras. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I like how like simple it is, but powerful. Because like, if you break it down, it's like, oh, what's the synopsis of it? I would say it's a couple of bikers that are trying to get to Mardi Gras.
Yeah.
If you just want to like put out like what happens in it.
Yeah. And from that point on, from this point on, spoilers.
Yeah.
Big spoilers. I mean, it's a really old movie, but you might not have seen it because Tuesday hadn't seen it. And sometimes you just don't, you miss out on these movies.
Sometimes you miss out, slash, like, I say this is kind of one of those, like, classic American movies, you know, that, like, most people, at least our age and older, have heard of, at least are aware of. And, like, for me, I avoided it because of Peter Fonda. It was just like one of those kind of face things. I never really cared for his face. And then Dennis Hopper, I had seen him in Super Mario Brothers, Speed, and then Waterworld. And I was like,
yeah, that's not, yeah, a good, I was like, this guy,
I was like, this guy's really bad. Like, and like, I love villains, you know how much I love villains. So I was just like, and so I just pretty much like purposefully stay away from this movie.
Yeah, Super Mario Brothers is definitely not the first Dennis Hopper movie you want to see.
Well, that is the first one I saw. And, like, I understood because even, like, Bob Hoskins in it, who is a great actor, and I'd seen him in Roger Rabbit. I was like, I get it. He's playing to what this campy, crazy movie is. Fair enough. But then I saw Speed, and I was like, oh, okay. Like, maybe he's just bad. I'm thinking he's bad. And then I saw Waterworld, and I was like, yep, bad. He's bad.
Yeah.
And it's just, like, bad. Moving on.
It's bad. It's real bad, y'all.
But this is actually a really positive thing. I think the movie is so beautiful. Like, it's so beautifully shot. So many, like, great landscapes. And just, like, the shots just of, Peter Fonda and stuff like that, like, you can really tell, like, the love and appreciation that he had for him. Like, it kind of, like, breaks, like, the boundaries of movies, like, in David Lynch stuff, because, like, there's an actual friendship and everything there. Because the story is about friendship, obviously, and everything. Yeah. But at the same time, like, you can tell that these two guys are actual friends. And that, like, kind of bleeds through, and I think makes it,
The chemistry between Hopper and Fonda, really helps sell the movie. Or helps sell the performance. so that you, when you see them on screen together, you can kind of believe that the chillness of Captain America, Wyatt, and Dennis Hopper's character, it's just, you know, he needs that chillness in the same time. Like, they balance each other's, like, whatnot.
Oh, like, I mean, if you want to put it in, like, pure, like, movie terms or something, you could say, like, Peter Fonda is the straight man, and Dennis Hopper's, like, kind of crazy and wild, and he needs that, like, reining in of, like, just certain scenes, like, when they show up to some place, and Dennis Hopper's just like, oh, man, we gotta get out of here, and, like, I don't want them asking anything and stuff, and Peter Fonda just has to be like, man, we're eating their food. Yeah. Like, just, like, kind of like a reality check, like, hey, just at least be polite and stuff like that. Because, like, yeah, maybe these girls are asking for rides and da-da-da at the same time, but it's not like we haven't been given anything.
Yeah, like, we're just trying to be chill. Just,
yeah, like, everyone's... If we all just, like, gave more and stuff instead of, like, trying to keep score or even being like, what do we owe that person? Like, it's not about that. Like, sometimes people just need, like, help. Like, seen to ride down the road or something. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, but then, like, no. Yeah.
No, like, we're just getting down the road anyway. Like, you know, if we're going the same way.
Yeah. And then they just went off and swam.
Yeah. Also benefits, I guess, too, back in the day. Like,
then we just went bang.
Dad, just, like, just be chill. And maybe we'll get to see some titties and everything like that. That was back then.
Just whip them.
But I think it, like, really captures that, too, like, that time period and what at least a group of people were feeling and thinking and wishing. Like, there's such ridiculous moments, like, when one of the guys at the place where they get the food, they're just, like, putting freaking seeds down onto dirt. And Hopper's, like, infuriated, too. He's like, it's dirt, man. Like, it ain't gonna grow. Like,
just whipping it at dirt, man.
Like, it is, yeah. Like, you look down at it, it's just, like, plain, like, white, brown, like, nutrient deficient. Like, he said, dirt. And it's not soil in any form. Like, nothing. Nothing would be growing there. Like, maybe some cactus could survive.
Yeah.
But they are not trying. They're all talking about, like, planting corn and stuff, and it's like, corn this ain't gonna is grow not out the here. Place for corn. Like, it is corn good to have up. Dreams.
You need something that doesn't really require that much water. Yeah, maybe, like, some sort of cactus farm, but you're still going to be, like, deficient on what you need to survive, because you can't just eat cactus. I'm pretty sure if you grow the wrong cactus, you're going to have a real bad time out there.
Or you might not remember to eat for a few days and then you're dead.
Yeah, man. Just tripping out there. Shit in your pants.
But yeah, I'd say, like, so not, like, not a lot happens in the movie, like, kind of story-wise. Like, it starts off,
Starts off with them doing a drug deal.
So it starts off with a drug deal. Like, they're buying some coke from some guy.
Yeah.
And they're all, like, testing it on a mirror. Stuff like that.
Yeah, we're good. And then they take it over to some guy in Mexico and they sell it to him in these little boxes. They get it from the boxes. And then they get the money and they push it into a tube and put it in the gas tank.
Yeah. And then Peter Fonda throws down his gold watch.
Yeah, whips his watch away.
Then they drive off.
They drive.
Yeah.
They ride. Just like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. Yeah, so it's a lot of shots of these guys on bikes across the countryside. A thing that is not easily accomplished nowadays. I mean, insurance alone would not allow most folks to get on a motorcycle like that. Especially, like, the motorcycle Fonda's riding. It is heavily modified. and not an easy bike to ride.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know a lot about bikes. But they were, I can tell you they're very well maintained because they're super shiny. They're like, they sounded great, you know, not like, you know, some bikes you just hear and you're like, whoa, like the muffler or whatever, you're like, it is in bad, like it's running, but it's in bad shape. Yeah, no, they had some like freaking nice machines.
Yeah, man.
But yeah, they hit up like that kind of like group of people that are trying to just like chill out in the desert because they start off from L.A.
Some Earth Home type of folks. Earthship people.
Yeah.
Who do not know how to grow food.
And then they give the girls a ride to where they're going. And they wind up meeting up with Jack Nicholson's character.
They get arrested for illegally parading.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, they arrive while there's, like, a little parade going on, and they, like, kind of slow roll through town, like, dancing around with them, and the cops arrest them for parading without permit. And, luckily, in the cell is a hungover Jack Nicholson, whose character's name, I believe, is Billy?
I'm not sure. I remember he's a lawyer.
Yeah. So, he gets them pretty much out with him because the town is just kind of like, yeah, we'll go, man. And so he leaves, and they get to leave with him, luckily. But he wants to go to Mardi Gras with him.
Yeah, he's like, man, I've always wanted to go to Mardi Gras.
Yeah.
And he has a helmet.
Yeah, he breaks out a football helmet.
Yeah, because just like, immediately, like, Peter Fonda, who has not been wearing a helmet this whole freaking film so far, is, like, got a helmet and puts his helmet on. I guess maybe it was just, like, a test or something.
Yeah.
And the trash man rolls.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, he had the helmet.
I mean, I guess a football helmet is better than nothing, man.
Didn't help him in the end. He should have slept in that helmet.
That's some dark shit, man.
That is. Oh, yeah, fuck. So,
like, the movie's been pretty, like, chill so far up until they get arrested. But then, like you said, they get out. So you're like, ah, well, maybe it's not so bad. Jack Nicholson's gonna join their thing. They're like sitting around the campfire. And Nicholson's like drinking like crazy. You know, like kind of agitated. And Fonda's just like, hey man, like, you should try some grass. But Nicholson's all like, oh no, I've heard like at least a harder stuff. Like, I mean, crazy and stuff like that. But he's like already freaking crazy stuff, off the booze.
Stick in the head, real hard. Crack.
But yeah, they decide to head in for the night, and like these country folk who had earlier like pretty much like
ran them out of a diner by like, being like, "Look at him! Look at him! Heckled
them and stuff blah, 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 blah. Like them queer homosexuals with their long hair, and like pretty much because all these young girls." Like, the minute the three guys walk in, want their D.
Yeah, they want it bad.
And it, like, really upsets the town people.
Yeah, they cannot stand the idea that the, like, all what look to be underage girls are like, let me ride your bike.
Not even just that. Like, one of them immediately was like, I want the one in the suspenders, which is freaking Nicholson. With the worst comb over,
he looks like her dad. He
looks like hell. Like, he is sweaty because they've been, like, yeah. They don't look exactly glamorous. I mean, at least Fonda's, like, in some leather pants and stuff. But, like, they're not, like, Magic Mike sexy dudes. They're just, like, normal-looking dudes, pretty much.
Town folk are so bad that nobody wants it.
Yeah.
They're so bad that when, like, a traveling salesman-looking motherfucker comes in the door all sweaty, they're like, oh,
la, la, la. Yeah, they want it so bad that Dennis Hopper with, like, grown-out hair and a nasty mustache.
You know what the crazier part is? Those weren't actors.
Those were real girls?
Those were the people that actually lived there.
Well, yeah, I believe it, though. Because especially, like, those men. Ooh.
Yeah, those weren't professional actors. They were just, I guess, some people that they had rounded up. They were like, y'all want to make fun of some folks? Because from what I've read, they didn't have a full script. The only person that apparently did keep really well to the written script was Jack Nicholson.
Yeah, well, I like that because the movie does feel very organic. It feels like an actual real trip to Mardi Gras.
Yeah.
Like, they totally sold me on that. Like, during this time period. Not a modern trip now to Mardi Gras.
Yeah. The cocaine was not real because they couldn't afford it.
Yeah, there was a bit of cocaine snorting, especially at the beginning and stuff.
Yeah, and so they couldn't afford real coke, so they had to use fake coke for that. They used real marijuana. The marijuana.
I think that's fine.
You gotta say it like the Twin Peaks guy. Marijuana. Yeah. And friggin', they didn't use real acid, obviously, because they wouldn't have been able to, function properly.
Maybe, I don't know.
Yeah, you never know. Maybe I'll, like, I got this.
Yeah, I did not. I was not prepared for that scene. I haven't gotten there yet.
No.
That's that Mardi Gras. Was it at Mardi Gras?
Yep.
Yeah, Mardi Gras. So, they go down for the night to sleep.
Yeah.
All three guys. And then...
Jack Nicholson has his UFO and all that. And the scene of him, like, ripping on joints with them. He, like, you know, he's like, it went out. Yeah. According to Jack Nicholson, they smoked like 100-something joints to do that scene. Because Dennis Hopper wanted him to be get real high and forget his lines. But Jack Nicholson didn't.
Living the dream.
Yeah.
Someone please pay me to smoke 100 joints. I will.
All right, so here you go. Some college study somewhere. They're like, do it. Okay, what you didn't know is the 60th joint was laced with something, and now you're freaking out. That's the study. That's just a kind of... And way up, that was not cool. Everything was good up until the point where I started freaking out, man. Yeah, man. Speaking of freaking out, apparently Dennis Hopper... had smoked himself into a paranoia, and so a lot of people quit, and they recorded Dennis Hopper on set and the way he was yelling at them.
Oh,
and they had sent it to the studio to explain why they were quitting.
Why'd you quit? See the footage.
I quit because here's the footage. Damn motherfuckers!
I believe it though. After seeing Blue Velvet, especially, like,
all right, we'll talk
that
about
yelling does not come from nowhere.
Oh, yeah, there's some rage in there. That's when the birds chimed in. Yeah, man. So, yeah.
Jack Nicholson gets his brains bashed in.
Yeah.
By the country people. Peter Fonda's, like, beat up, but Dennis Hopper shakes him awake.
Yeah. Shakes the life back into him. Holds him.
Yeah.
Yeah, they survive barely and go get some food on the dude's dime. And Hopper is, you know, trying to be like, look, he'd have wanted us to get something good to eat. And Fonda's just, like, depressed because, like, the dude died, you know, like, and had to leave him in the bushes.
Yeah, like, there wasn't anything they could do. They'd probably just go to jail because they'd be like, no, you murdered him.
Yeah, they would just be told that you killed him. No one would believe otherwise. They'd be said, like, oh, these two drifters, like, killed him.
Yeah. And if they, like, search the freaking bikes and find all that money and stuff, yeah, you're...
Yep. They ain't gonna let you drive away with it. Oh man, that's some shoot.
Yeah, because it's been like pretty chill and like.
Suddenly butterfly mornings.
Yeah. Suddenly like, oh, at least for me, because I hadn't seen it before. I was like, oh Jesus. Like the blood is really fake. Which I'm not upset about because like budget. Yeah. Just, whoa, I gotta bring up this budget because this is one of the things I was really impressed with. Like, I shouldn't have been, I guess.
Was it like $500,000 to make it?
Something yes, like that? Not even. So, the budget was. No. This can't be it. What it says it is.
Sounds about right. IMDb has it set as a estimated 360,000.
Yeah.
Sounds about right. I remember someone estimating somewhere around 400,000. But that's in total. Like, literally estimated, probably, because it's hard to say how much money was actually spent to make this, but it wasn't a lot in comparison to how much it freaking brought in.
No, that's what I'm saying. This can't be right, because it's saying it only, that it was well, a failure.
It's more than likely for its openings, maybe, but in total, Easy Rider was a massive success.
Yeah. It grossed $60 million worldwide from a budget of no more than $400,000.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the thing was a huge success when it comes to small budget movies pulling out something. But, yeah. Billy, the lawyer, gets his head mashed in. Mashed in good. And from there, they pretty much go to the whorehouse.
Yeah, they go to a whorehouse, and Hopper's all like, oh man, I want the blonde one. Is that cool? Just,
god damn!
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was supposed to be, it was a whorehouse that Nicholson had been told was like, yes, the best ever. And they get there, and it's just like,
it's like a bunch of ladies that look like my mom.
Yeah, like basic like mothers. Ladies. So, but they get a couple girls, like, because as Fonda explains to the brunette girl, because she, like, doesn't want to know what to do, because he's like, no, it's just talk or whatever, and she's like, but don't you think I'm pretty? He's like, nah, you're just here, because my friend got a guy,
I'm saying, nah. Friend...
No, like, he doesn't say it like that. No, but he's just like, you know, relax, we don't have to do anything, like, I just hate you so that my friend could get a girl and not, like, feel bad about it.
Yeah. And well, no. Like, he wasn't saying because of my friend. He's like, well, you paid for me. He's like, I paid for you for a friend. He's talking about Billy.
Oh.
He feels bad because he feels like that lady's not for him. That was supposed to be for Billy, who had never been down there and wanted to go. And they went without him because he was dead. And, like, Hopper's character is like, he would want us to, man. You know what I mean? He'd want us to do this because he wanted to do it. And, like, we're doing it for him. And, like, it's not for, like...
I gotcha.
You know, and for him, it's like, no, like, that was... He should be doing this. Almost like a, like, I should be the one that died type of thing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, like, yeah, he's, like, riddled with guilt while, like... He's, like, drinking and trying to, like, shake it off. Drink it off.
Yeah.
He'd dip his mustaches into a pint.
Trying to have a good time and stuff. But, yeah, so he's like, hey, you want to get out of here to the chick?
Yeah.
And she's like, yeah, so Peter Fonda takes them all to the cemetery.
Yeah.
Why a cemetery?
It's a bad place.
Don't advise it.
To do that.
Especially because it's like this crazy...
Old school mausoleum, like the French... Acid too. Like,
crazy that he like breaks into four pieces like that. I've never seen it.
It would appear that he has been handed some old school old four-way window pane situation, which is like a four-piece looking deal. And the guy says, take this, and when you're with some people you trust, quarter it. So he's already not, like, listening, because he, like, took it and he, like, cracked it open while he was with, like,
Yeah, I mean, obviously,
two people who he didn't even know. Hopper,
but like, who are these ladies?
And then the ladies are all like, "What is it?" And they're like, "Shut up and put it in your mouth."
Not even because they ask, "What is it?" But then they still just take
it. They still never take it. Tell them they just take it.
Like waiting for them to try to explain. So they were gonna take it anyway.
Oh my! You're gonna take it. You're gonna freak out in the fucking graveyard.
It's like, it was almost like a rhetorical question because they didn't wait long enough to like find out. Just, what is it?
But I don't know how strong it was, but it appeared to have been strong enough.
It seemed strong as hell.
Because they were like writing all over.
Based on the visual representation of it.
Yeah. And I got some trivia and stuff about that here in a little bit. But yeah, man, they like have like their thing in the graveyard. They're like having a breakdown / like
I thought it really like depicted and like a trip really well though, because like the beautiful parts and then like the anguish and like randomness, like the lady being like, "I don't know if I even like you," and she's hot for me like, "I don't know if I like you either." why are we gonna have to trip together, that kind of thing. And like, yeah, that's why you're supposed to do it with people you want to be around, just like randoms you met.
Who did not know what they were getting in for.
Yeah, that too. Like,
one of them was like tearing their clothes off because they're like freaking out. It's like, and then at some point they're just like stuck between two mausoleums and they're just like in a little bitty, like tiny crevice being like, "I know you," like touching the wall and getting all crazy because it's like, yeah, man, you should not.
Yeah, I mean, I assume it was both of those women's first trip, and that is not how you, like...
It's not how you do it.
send someone on a trip.
Out in the in a graveyard.
That's irresponsible.
Yeah. Extremely. So, yeah, from there, they just kind of abandon these poor women who have been traumatized.
They will probably have PTSD from that freaking trip.
Oh, yeah, it'll never be the same. And then... and then they drive off. Yeah, that would be the same.
I mean, it's life. It's very realistic in that sense.
Yes, such is life. Trip in a graveyard, and you're never the same.
I mean, it sounds so bizarre and stuff, but at the same time,
how bizarre. It's
real.
How bizarre.
Like, how many graveyards and whatnot are there in New Orleans?
A good amount.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Like, it may have just been one of the options where they could...
stumbling through and, like...
Like, I guess maybe I'd rather be outside in the open-ish versus inside a horror house tripping.
Yeah, I guess. It's better to be that than in a horror house.
I just imagine so much noise and stuff in the horror house.
I mean, who knows what's going on there? Then you're going to be like asked to leave at some point. I mean, either way, you're going to end up outside, so might as well be somewhere where the birds are at. Judge you.
The bird edition.
Yeah, the birdening. The bird boxing.
I don't think we picked the right movie for birds, though. I don't remember seeing a single bird in this movie. I'm sure there are some.
They're out there, hanging out. Being like,
and then was that it?
And then they go for the final ride. They have their night where they talk and, like, he's all like, "We blew it."
Yeah, yeah. So Dennis Hopper is all like, man. He's so excited. It's kind of cute. He's almost like a child. He's like, "We did it. We're rich. You know, like, we hit the big score. Now, you know, now we can go and, like, fucking do it." And Peter Fonda just, like, looks over at him and he's like, "We blew it."
Yeah. Yeah, for me, I think it's still a mixture of his guilt or sadness that the dude died and like with them, you know what I mean, like type of thing. But somehow he feels like that they screwed it up, that they're not living like they wanted to live.
Yeah, for me, I also thought it was like the whole thing wasn't about like settling down somewhere or retiring or whatever and stuff. Like they were doing it for Peter Fonda, like this. This journey, this type of life is what
it's about. Wanted.
That was my score. That was my end game. And I thought we were like on the same page, but we're not. Like maybe we're in the same book, but I thought we were like on the same page. Yeah. certainly like with stuff like Dennis Hopper does not seem to be nearly as heavy-hearted about the dude dying and stuff.
Like you said, he rolls with it real fast.
Let's take his money, in memoriam of him and stuff, but like he doesn't really like give it any gravity.
No, he drops that pretty quick to be like, all right, well, let's just keep moving, man.
Yeah, and it's like, yeah, this was about having a good time and stuff like that, but also, like, for Peter Fonda, I think it was at the same time, like, do no harm. Even though the acid thing, that's hypothetically, like, I feel like it was with good intentions, but tell people what they're taking, at least.
Oh, yeah, you can't just go back to, like, the CIA. Like, oh, dosing people without telling them. That's messed up. Highly illegal. Do not take illegal substances.
Yeah, I think that's really the only problem I have with Peter Fonda's character.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, hey, let's do this, and it's like...
I guess my problem is that he packed his bike with so much C4.
Maybe those bills were coated in explosives. Extremely...
There were some actually like, wrapped in... They were coating... They were each wrapped around a small explosive cord. Debt cord that was in there. I don't know why. So... back to the movie, I guess, at the end, they're, like, riding, and, you know, ye oldie pickup truck and ye oldie townsfolk come rolling through with a blunderbuss and just, like, blow Hopper away. He has a, like, I didn't hit no goddamn bump moment, but he, like, waggles a shotgun at him to be like, I'm gonna scare him, and then blasts him.
Yeah, it hits him, like, in the, like, fucking shoulder or something. But, like, oh, yeah, you said, it was just... a big-ass gun, so it just blows him
he just, like,
off of his bike onto the grass.
Yeah, threw him off the bike, pretty much. And they, like, drive past. Fonda, you know, checks on him and then tries to ride for help. But the dudes have flipped it around so they could blast him. And they blast him. And his bike, which is made of explosives, explodes into fireworks. And
on the road, yeah, and it just kind of like pans out,
yeah, it's from just
that shot, so that like you can see the road of like Hopper's bike down and Fonda's bike aflame still.
Yeah, and they all danced,
and then they played the ending credit song. I thought was really like it worked, straightforward, you know.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I guess maybe it's for also the dumb people that didn't get it. Like, all they wanted to be was free. And stuff, because, like...
Yeah, this movie inspired a lot of people to go out, buy a motorcycle, and drive around. Weekend warring. You know what I mean? Like, it was bad.
That straight up, like, I think really is what was the biggest threat to those country people. Is they saw, like, these guys out there having, like, actual freedom. And it upset them so much that they, like, had to take it away from them.
And to mash them. People just couldn't stand to see them living lives.
Yeah, because, like, in no way had they harmed the, like, they didn't stir up any trouble at the diner. They just left. Like, all right, we're not going to get any food here.
Yeah.
And then when they saw, like, the guys watching them with the girls all trying to get on the bike, they're like, no, we're not going to give you a ride. Even though they could have picked up one of the girls, at least, and given her a ride. Like, Opera could have been like, get on. And...
Oh, yeah. They'd have been chased down at that point.
You know what I'm saying, though? Like, they could have, like, gone looking for trouble or would have, like, stirred up some stuff. But they didn't do any of that.
Yeah. So, it was one of the first films to use multiple musical tracks that weren't exclusively written for the movie.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Most movies didn't do that. They would have their own music written at the time. And instead, they used a...
Yeah, no, I'm so used to the idea of a soundtrack
these
days that I can imagine, like, before.
Fonda originally didn't want Born to Be Wild in it, but when he heard it, he felt it could be in the movie. At some point, Peter Fonda's chopper, which is apparently really hard to ride. And Jack Nicholson was sitting on the back in an attempt to stabilize himself. He squeezed his knees and broke one of Peter Fonda's ribs.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's such a small man.
Yeah. Luckily, Peter Fonda was an experienced motorcycle rider. And so the chopper that he rides has a seriously stretched and raked, and it has a tall ape hanger style handlebar, which is not something most people can normally ride unless they are pretty experienced. Because it's so, the height center also weight.
Helps too, right?
Yeah, he's two tall. And a half, so that definitely is going to help him be able to handle that. Yeah. So for the cemetery scene, Peter Fonda was asked to addressed the statue as if it was his mother who had died by suicide. And Fonda didn't want to because he hadn't really addressed, you know, the emotion of it all. And essentially, in the end, like, Hopper essentially, you know, like, explained it to him and he did it. And that's why, like, he's, like, calling the statue mother and saying, like, how he hates it, but loves her, you know, and, like, and so, but because of that scene, it persuaded Bob Dylan to allow them to use his song "It's All Right, Ma," which is a song about suicide.
And it's really the cemetery scene. All of it is like really good.
Yeah,
it's strong.
Speaking of the cemetery scene, so the weird lighting effects is because a can of film was accidentally exposed when it was opened before being developed.
Happy accidents.
Yeah, man. Rip Torn was originally cast in the role of George Hansen. According to Torn, Dennis Hopper pulled a knife on him during a pre-production meeting. On The Tonight Show with Jay Leno, Hopper claimed it was Torn who pulled the knife, and Torn sued Hopper for defamation and won.
Well, yeah. so, like, again, so, at least in this movie, I figured out...
Get some! Oh, no!
That, like, Dennis Hopper is... what I would say a good director, and he also delivered a good performance, but like, I don't know that I would work with him, because this dude seems just straight up dangerous, like in real life.
Most of the film is shot outside with natural lighting. Dennis Hopper said that all the outdoor shooting was an intentional choice on his part, because God is a great gaffer. let's see here. The Harleys driven by the main characters were purchased from LAPD, and Harley-Davidson refused to provide free bikes for the film because the protagonists were outlaws, and they thought it was bad for their image.
Oh, dude, they could have, like, Easy Rider merch and all different kinds of stuff.
You know how dumb it was for them not to have been, like, they rode our Harleys?
You could have just been sponsored by Harley-Davidson.
Yep.
Within the titles.
Bikes provided by Harley-Davidson.
Promotion.
During one meeting at Columbia, Dennis Hopper stood up and stuffed his finger in an executive's nose.
Oh, I love this. Is freaking 69 and the dude is still working. He has done all this stuff. But of course, because he's a white man, he's still working.
Two of the three bikes they used for filming were stolen before the film wrapped. They didn't have permission to shoot at the Catholic cemetery that they used in Louisiana.
Whoops.
Audience members were shocked that the church had allowed it. Since then, no other films have been allowed to shoot at St. Louis Number One unless it's a documentary and you have permission. Apparently, they were, you can still hear the police sirens and stuff that are happening are real, and they had to leave as soon as they could. They ran out before they got there. Someone had called the cops because they saw people
like
acting crazy and getting naked in a cemetery while someone filmed it.
Like, I'm not sure if a porn is happening.
Roger Corman turned down the chance to produce the film. He cited this as the worst decision he ever made.
Oh, it was produced by Peter Fonda. Yeah. I didn't mention that.
A paranoid Dennis Hopper demanded that cameraman Barry Feinstein hand over all the footage he'd shot so he could keep it safe in his room. An enraged Fernstein hurled the film cans at him, and the two got into a brawl and fell through the door of one of the hotel rooms. They got up and stared at the sight of Peter Fonda in bed with Karen Black and Tony Basil, though Black denied this. Bernstein wasn't distracted for long and threw a television set at Hopper.
Some wild times, y'all. Like, I'm all in support of the weed use, but maybe y'all shouldn't have been doing so much coke. This stuff sounds like coke craziness.
Right. Ah!
or alcohol.
Apparently, he was just, he had smoked so much weed that it put him into a paranoia, and like, it wasn't his drug of choice, but he was tearing through it.
Yeah, and maybe he's going to method, but still, like, don't do that stuff, people.
The film's driving speakers were among the first to deliberately use lens flare to add atmosphere. Initially derided because they had failed to keep the shots clean, the technique went on to become commonplace in cinematography. Yeah, I was saying there was a little baby J.J. Abrams somewhere that was like, lens flare is God.
Yeah, we were talking about that. We didn't know it was the first one, but pretty much you're like, can you imagine him just being like, yes, I will use it all the time now.
Dennis Hopper asked reclusive supermarket tycoon Huntington Hartford to finance the film. Hartford replied that he would give him the money on the condition that they levitate. He said, a man with your kind of passion should be able to levitate. A dumbfounded Hopper stood there for a few seconds and really, really thought he could do it, and eventually turned to Peter Fonda and said, look, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, I tried. It did not happen.
While filming in the South, the crew were intimidated by locals. Dennis Hopper entered a bar and a man took a swing at him. Behind him was the sheriff. As a joke, Hopper said, hi there, I'm hitching to the peace march, whereupon eight men jumped him.
Wow.
After a preview screening, Columbia's chief executive, Leo Hafe? I can't remember. Stood up hailing, I don't know what the fuck this picture means, but I know we're going to make a fuck lot of money.
He wasn't wrong.
Karen Black described the shoot as insane, according to Jack Nicholson. Everyone wanted to kill one another and put one another in institutions. In an interview with the Daily Camera, Peter Fonda described his father Henry's reaction to the film. I had him come down and look at an early cut. We had to get Dennis out of the room to get it below 4 hours. My dad watched it, and then I went over the next day to his house, and he was very serious. He said, look, son, I know you have all your eggs in this basket, and I'm worried about it because the film is inaccessible. We don't see where you're going and why. I just don't think many people will get it. Even after it was successful, he thought it was just a loose cannon until he worked for me one day.
Sounds like Henry Fonda from what I've read, yeah. He was a brutal father in person.
There are various reports about the exact running time of the original cut of the movie. 4 hours, 4.5 hours, or 5 hours. All deleted footage is believed to be lost.
Yeah, that's a shame. I'd love to see just the landscape and whatnot. So, all the pretty canyons and...
Dennis Hopper and Peter Fonda hosted a wrap party for the movie, and then realized that they had not yet shot the final campfire scene. Thus, it was shot after the bikes had already been stolen, which is why they are not visible in the background. Jack Nicholson is in the movie for 17 minutes.
Yeah, not long, but makes his mark.
A few years after the film came out, Peter Fonda appeared in an unnarrated Not So Easy, a motorcycle safety film.
Oh, that's cute. I like that. Wow, there's a thousand things of trivia.
There's a lot of trivia about this movie, man.
I believe it.
Dennis Hopper won ownership of the writing credits, demanding Peter Fonda take his name from it, even though it was Fonda's idea and was responsible for most of the writing. Hopper then sued Fonda, which was then thrown out of court.
Oh my god, Hopper.
Dennis Hopper's acting like a madman throughout most of this.
It seemed like, whoa. If anything can be learned from this, it's definitely don't be Dennis Hopper circa this time.
It's a favorite film of Charles Manson. They used powdered sugar as the cocaine. Bob Rafelson, after agreeing to finance the film, wrote a check for $40,000 on the spot and told Dennis Hopper and Peter Fonda to go to New Orleans and shoot the Mardi Gras sequence. If they could do it, he would bankroll the film. The badge on Peter Fonda's jacket is the Secretary of Defense Identification Badge. It's worn by military personnel in the right pocket of their uniform when assigned to the U.S. Secretary of Defense staff. See, the Captain America bike and the Billy bike were designed and built by an African-American bike builder by the name of Ben Hardy. Fonda met Hardy when Hardy built the bike he rode in The Wild Angels in 1966. Dennis Hopper confirmed it was Hardy who built the bikes in a documentary called The History of the Chopper. And one of the people who worked on the bikes was Dan Haggerty, who later starred in The Life and Times of Grizzly Adams.
Yeah. I think we're probably pretty good, because, I mean, we're almost...
Yeah, we're pretty much good on...
There's, like, on, a million trivia.
There's so much trivia, guys. Definitely look up more about it. But, so many lawsuits, too. The one last one here. In 1970, Barry Feinstein filed a $3 million lawsuit against Peter Fonda and sought to ban the film from the Academy Award competition. Feinstein charged that Fonda failed to give him a credit in the picture, for which he said he filmed a major sequence in New Orleans. There seemed to have been a lot of shit that was... I mean, they were on a lot of drugs.
Yeah. I have a feeling like a lot of people forgot what actually happened. They're like, but no, I did it! And it's like, yeah. Bro.
Oh.
I was at least halfway sober. And like, yeah.
No, you didn't. You didn't. So, till next time, guys. This has been Ruben.
And Tuesday.
And we're Tabloid Tarot. You can find us on all the places where you listen to podcasts. And Instagram, Tabloid_Tarot. Twitter, just look up Tabloid Tarot. And YouTube, The Green Pairs. And you'll see our links down in the descriptions, guys. Till next time.